Welcome back, everyone, to the Language of Behavior podcast. My name is Joshua Stamper, and I'm here with the wonderful Charlie Peck. And Charlie, I miss the weather in Tampa Bay because I woke up to 40 degrees this morning.
No, I can't even go there. No, thank you. Nope. It's beautiful here in Kentucky. Awesome. So I'm sorry.
That's right. I mistakenly left all of the windows in our house open. So you can imagine what that felt like.
Miserable.
Let's just say I wasn't a joyful person this morning when I woke up. But I am joyful now because I have the wonderful opportunity to speak with you and what's going on in your world, just as an update to let folks know from last week.
Well, first of all, I have another heartache of a week with football with my Cincinnati Bengals team.
I'm sorry.
But you know what? We're okay. We're going to be okay.
You played better.
Yeah. Yes. Joe Flacco. I mean, he played for Cleveland. And so now all of a sudden I'm supposed to root for him. But you know, he did all right. He was solid. We just need a whole team effort.
It's coming. And I get to have the awesome opportunity to go to Minnesota this next weekend. I'm going to bring some of my boys with, and we're going to go see my Minnesota Vikings live. We've never actually seen the team at US Bank Stadium. So this will be kind of a bucket list item for us. Great. So I'll probably be exhausted the next time I see you.
You probably will be, but it'll be so worth it.
So worth it.
That's exciting.
Awesome. All right. So Charlie, we continuously ask the audience four questions and someone reached out to you via Facebook with a question. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd love for you to share out what this assistant principal had asked.
Yes. I'm going to read it because I want to make sure I capture it the way they asked it. So they said, I'm a first year AP and love my job. However, how do you all deal with secondhand stress? The mental health issues are students and being on the front line to help them has been very difficult. Yes, it's so difficult being on the front lines and having to deal with that and take it home with you. So I'm going to throw back to you because you were very close to that role. So what would you say?
That was almost a decade of exactly what he's talking about. Yeah, it was really difficult. And I was especially young in my administrative career. There's not really a way to prepare you for what you're going to experience. I could think of the first year as a dean of students, you know, a girl came in. I was trying to ask her, you know, what was going on behind some of the student behavior that we saw. And she talked about sexual abuse that occurred in her house. And then I had to get CPS. I had to get the police. I had to get all these folks involved, find her trusted adult, bring her in the office. One thing I wasn't prepared for, really. It's not like you go through your master's training and that's the topic that they prepare you for. And so I was really relying on other people and other resources to help in that. But also I can remember going home just devastated for this poor child that had to go through such a horrific thing over and over again, and then expect her to be on her best behavior and to be an A student and have all these things that we just assume that kids are going to do. But underlying that behavior that we saw was really something that was just done to her that was absolutely terrible. So all that being said is it took me a while to understand that the things that I'm seeing, the things that I'm working on, and the people that I'm involved with on a daily basis, that I had to go find some mental health strategies for myself because it was draining me and I wasn't my best version. And that's some of the things that we talk about, Charlie, like in our keynotes, is that mental health piece. I'd also say, and I know this is a negative, but I had to go see a professional. I had to go see a counselor. I had to go see someone that I could speak to on that secondhand trauma. And this is, I know you do this with your art training.
Therapy. Accelerated art therapy. Resolution therapy. Yeah.
You'll probably speak on this too, but just having someone kind of work through that, you know, not only the trauma that went on in my own life, but then also all the things that I had with parents and with students and with teachers that I was also having to deal with that were just really high emotion, really high intensity conversations and trying to work through that. It really affected me as a leader.
I bet. Yeah. And I loved that this leader is also thinking about their staff. So how do the people in the front line actually deal with this? And of course, the first thing I said was, well, what's been working and what they've been asking for is to better equip them. So they don't have to be a therapist, but there is language they can learn to use so that for several reasons. Number one is so they can be better informants to the mental health team. And I find that is so important because now they feel like they're a part of the mental health team because they are, like, they are essential team members that people forget. They ignore them. And teachers have such incredible insight and we need to listen to them. But they also need to have the confidence to be able to speak to what they're seeing. So I always say this, make sure you're using observable language. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? That's it. There's no opinions in there. Sometimes you can put like how it made you feel, but really it's about, I saw that child say this and their face looked like this and the other person reacted like this. I mean, it's very specific, because that makes us better informants for the mental health team to then go do the work they do. And also, there has to be a system in place that's working. So again, I say, use our tools and go back to your team and just assess what's working well. Always start with the strengths. But what is the most glaring gap in your student referral process? And then go address that immediately. Because if teachers don't feel like they can communicate what they need for a student, they won't do it. Or if it's not easy, they won't do it. Or if they do send a student to you and they don't get any feedback about how that kid is doing or what kind of help they got, you don't have to even give details to bring confidentiality. You just let them know that they're being taken care of. If they don't know that, they're not going to send those kids there because they don't trust they're getting taken care of. I hear it over and over. All right, I have more information here. Like, things are just pulling up in my mind here.
Keep going, because this is something that you work with schools all the time. And even the work that we're doing with districts, I mean, we're trying to help build that A team. We're trying to build that action team, because that's the thing, you know, Charlie, that we talk about with our educators is they want to help. They have the most beautiful hearts. They have the best intentions, but then it's like this most chaotic situation. And then just they get into like fight, flight, or freeze mode sometimes too in the midst of it. And I know this is some of the training that we do. And so if they're looking at their toolbox or their tool belt in that situation, what do they even do?
Right. Well, that's the thing. They're asking to be better equipped. They want to know. So not only do they want the language, they want to know the signs and symptoms. And a lot of people start to learn about that now, because our society has moved towards talking more about mental health, which is great. And we have the newer generations entering the workforce, which is great. What we have to learn to do is make sure that language is right. Like, people can't be diagnosing themselves with an anxiety disorder when it's not disordered. It's actually anxiety, which is natural for everybody to have, but it becomes disordered when we can't function. Really, we can't function with the anxiety that we're experiencing. So that's when we go see a mental health professional. But oftentimes what we need to do is learn to talk about it in a way that it's to adapt. So let's talk about anxiety as a means to adapt. Oh, what are you noticing right now? I notice my heart is racing when I feel anxiety. I notice that I tense up, or my fists, sometimes I clench my fists, which a lot of people would say, or my jaw gets tightened up. So these are body responses to stress. And so anxiety just means you're living ahead of time, like you're anticipating something, and your anxiety response is your stress response kicks in because you're thinking of something that's not imminent. It's not right in front of you. So that kind of information is what they're craving. They want to know about it. We want to let them know, hey, listen, stress and anxiety are okay. We actually need that. That's how we've adapted and we thrive as humans, because we can overcome that. We can work with that. In fact, I've always heard this. I can't confirm it, but I've definitely heard people say that the CIA likes to recruit people who have anxiety and high anxiety because they're on high alert a lot. And so they're like looking around at the surroundings more than the typical person. So it's important to just know about it, but also, what are the signs and symptoms of the behaviors that are showing up that are bothering us, that are frustrating, they're irritating us? And that actually contributes to that secondary trauma. Not only do we have compassion for kids who are experiencing really tough things, but those behaviors that we're seeing and experiencing ourselves, it's hard. It attacks our nervous system to be on high alert a lot in our classrooms. And when we don't know what to do, we do nothing, or we try to say something and then feel unsupported if it keeps happening, or we go back to doing the same things that were never working in the first place. And education is changing. The world of education is just changing. So we all have to adapt to that. So again, I'll give it back to you. What else are you thinking?
I love the idea of what you're talking about, because I think as leaders, specifically our, you know, folks that are dealing with student behavior, is that it can be a beatdown. Like, because you feel, and I know I felt this, is that you're the bad guy every time that you're going in and trying to, you know, help out or support or teach the correct behaviors to the students. And so I just want to give folks permission. You can take 5 minutes, 10 minutes in your office, shut the door, tell your secretary, don't have anyone bother me, and do some things that you're talking about, right? Do some breathing exercises, doing something to regulate yourself in the moment. Maybe it's you haven't eaten. Maybe you haven't taken a drink of water all day. You know, whatever it is that you need in that moment, I think I'd like to give permission to say that you can cut that out during the day. At the end of the day, too, I think boundaries need to be established as a leader. I think sometimes we have this misperception that I got to have an open door policy at all times of the day, or I need to be on call throughout the day. And I think that just adds to that stress where you feel like you're on call and your body, your brain, everything inside of you is ready for the worst possible thing to occur at any moment. And I think that's where burnout comes from, is because you're just on that heightened state too much of your day. Mm-hmm. We're not built for that. And so what is it that you are putting in place for yourself? And I know everyone's different as far as their strategies and things that work for them, but what have you established within your routine to give yourself that permission to take some time to get yourself in a regulated state? So that way, when it is going crazy or you do have an intense situation, that you're in the right mind space and your body space, emotional space to actually handle it better than if you're on heightened state 24/7.
Yeah, that's true. It really does affect you. It can make you ill long-term. It's got implications, right? That stress response system, it floods your body and your brain. And if we're constantly walking around like that, I mean, I've said it before, Josh, imagine you're building with a bunch of nervous systems that are on high alert all the time. You just don't function well as a building and as a community that way. And it won't be everybody all the time. But if you're an AP and you're looking out for your staff, imagine not just kids, but what staff are working, they're walking around like that and working under those high demands. So that's what this assistant principal was talking about. And I love that question because it happens so frequently, they don't know what to do. And so here's another thought. I'm going to go back to that art therapy. So those of you listening, it's accelerated resolution therapy. It is a specialized trauma treatment. I get to do it. I love it. And there are many people out there, but you have to be certified in that state that you're doing the work in. So make sure if you're, whatever state you're in, you can look up accelerated resolution therapists who specialize in it. And here's what I like to do. It's a brief therapy and it's covered by EAP typically because it's an evidence-based practice for trauma. What it does is it reduces that overwhelm of the nervous system and it desensitizes us. So imagine that you have a bunch of teachers or even just staff members. I mean, this extends out to all of your staff who are walking into your building with that secondary trauma, but their nervous system is now better adapting to it. They're not getting as alert. They're not as reactive, right? And so we can come in with a calm, really stable nervous system as what we need. It's not always about calm, I will say. It's not always about calm, but it's about self-control and self-awareness. So that's the hope, is that we can master those two things, that self-awareness leading to self-control so that we can address what the problem is. But we start from within, of course. So that's what it is. Yeah. And that's the approach is accelerated resolution therapy, which helps desensitize the nervous system. And I love it. It's like only 1 to 5. I never actually had to do 5, but 1 to 5 sessions, you can see a significant decrease. And I have tons of examples. We probably need to do one whole episode on that.
Yeah.
Anybody that's coming into the classroom, whether they're being triggered by a kid, by a sound, by what happened at home or what they're going to go home to later, they can actually have a very reduced nervous system reaction to that, so they can function better.
Yeah. And that goes universal. It's not just in education. There's a lot of other, I mean, I can even think of like first responders to emergency situations. I mean, absolutely. A lot of times our leaders, our educational leaders are triage. So this is something that you need to have that mindset that, okay, I might need something like this heart therapy or something else to put in place to make sure that I have that longevity in this role, because otherwise, like we talked about, you will fizzle out quickly. So love the question. I love that this person is thinking about that. That's not something that typically happens. I wish I would have had this thought process in my leadership journey, but I'm so glad that we're able to speak on it and have people reflect through that. Of course, if you need more assistance or you have questions, please reach out to us. We'd love to go further on this topic. But with that, Charlie, do you want to hit up a behind the banter real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I know that we liked talking about changing practices. So what's one educational book that you read that changed one of your perspectives with what you were doing in that role?
Dr. Julie Hassan, when I read her book, Pause, Ponder, Persist, I loved it. It was so simplified in what we need to do in education, but it's adaptable to any profession, of course. But that changed me. That was about 3 years ago that I got my hands on that. What about you?
Well, I want to stick on her because she's amazing. And we probably should have her as a guest here on this podcast.
Yes, we need to, for sure.
What was the practice that you changed?
I actually had known to pause more, but I didn't actually do that. And so I actually do pause more because I read that. And it was just, it was such a simple reminder that I preach all the time, but it's funny when you read something that captivates you, mm-hmm. like, oh yeah. Yeah, that's right. Actually do pause. And this is why. It's just such a great read. You guys all need to go get that book.
Awesome. I will put the link in for that book specifically for Julie. I'll actually do it for mine too. So Fair Isn't Always Equal is an assessment and grading text. And that's by Rick Warmly. And he's amazing. I've had an opportunity to have him on Aspire to Lead a couple of times, but that was the first book study that I did as a teacher. So I think I was only in my second year teaching. And this goes beyond, and this is something that we talk about in our book, The Language of Behavior, is just the practice that we do for one child isn't a factory model and is appropriate for all children, because there's a lot of things that are going on as far as, you know, is it equitable for all students? And so it challenges a lot of things. And that's what I liked about it, was just the idea of reflecting on different practices that we just take as traditional things that are in place, and we just move on with it because it's always been done that way. And so for me, it gave me permission to kind of push back on some things like homework and why we do letter-based grades and things like that. So that was one that really pushed a lot of thought process, specifically with grading.
Yeah. And it's funny when you said like teaching, automatically training came up in my mind. Mm. So that was more recent, but I will say when I was a teacher, I read The Whole Brain Child, and it was Dr. Dan Siegel, his work is phenomenal. Every single person who's around children or humans needs to understand it, because it does help you have hindsight too.
Yep. So that's three different books. I'll make sure that those in the show notes for folks, because stuck with us, it's resonated even 20 years later or however long we've been doing this work. So that's awesome. Charlie, I know that we are booking now for 2026 with our keynotes. I'd love for you to speak first on, you know, what people are reaching out to get your services and what you're speaking on mostly this upcoming year.
Yeah, well, it's all about thriving under pressure in high demand fields. And a lot of us are experiencing that overload. And so I want to help prevent that. So it's the human side of performance I get to talk about. And it's really about turning stress into stability. And that way we can perform at our best. And it's well beyond just work. It has to fall into our personal lives too. So that is always my message, but always leaving people with something tangible they can use right away and something they can model for other people, like their staff or their kids. And there's also a toolkit that goes with it. If people want that in addition to it, they can actually take it and teach your own staff. But yeah, it's always about how to thrive under pressure. What about you, Josh? I know yours is really phenomenal.
They're kind of like within the same umbrella. So it kind of depends on the audience members, but I've got Enhance Your Leadership Capacity with Healthy Habits, which is actually what we really are talking about today. I did not take very good care of myself, both physically and mentally. And so, you know, kind of work through what that should look like for a leader, but then also transformative mental health strategies for educators. So that's more for all people in education, because this work's tough. I mean, we talk about it often, and it's hard to make sure that we put things in place for ourselves to be the most successful person. But that's not just as an educator. We so often put our identity within our job, but there's other things that we are, as far as a husband, a wife, a parent, a friend, a family member, right? So it's really important to have some things put in place to make sure that we're our best version. So yeah, those two things have been the most sought after keynotes. So
yeah. And you really are just so nice to listen to. You just are captivating. Your message is great. It's always from the heart. So if anyone's listening and their event planner is looking for a keynote, you've got to reach out to Josh. It's awesome.
Same goes for Charlie. I've had the pleasure and honor of seeing you in action, and it's amazing. So it goes both ways. Of course, if you're looking for someone to kick off your school year, if you need training throughout the school year too, you can reach out to us via our websites, and that is in the show notes. Of course, we would also love for more questions. So if there's something going on in your world that you want us to touch on in the future Language and Behavior podcast, we have a very simple bit.ly that is also in the show notes for you to click on. And you can be anonymous or you can put your name on there. Of course, if you put your name on there, we'll shout you out for the episode. We always love hearing from our listeners. And of course, if you can share out the episodes to other folks, that's always encouraging. Or you can rate and review both the podcast or the book. We also love getting that amazing feedback from folks. So with that, Charlie, is there any last words for this episode?
Yeah, we're talking about secondary trauma for frontline workers. The best thing you can do is find your dream team, lean on each other, know who can help you for various things that you need throughout the day, because that is the best way you're going to get through it. Other than that art therapy, because that's pretty awesome.
The art therapy is very amazing. So, all right, y'all, hopefully you have a great week and we will see you again next Tuesday.
Bye guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.